Next week, we'll have a change of schedule. Starting next Sunday, October 1, our afternoon services will be from 2 p.m. It will be moved to 3 p.m. And then the 4 p.m. will be moved to 5 p.m. So October 1, next week, 10 a.m., still 10 a.m. And then in the afternoon, it will be 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. So now we will continue on our sermon series, Live Like Christ. And we are now on our third sermon in this series. Joy Mendoza. Joy Tanchi Mendoza, she's a daughter of one of the megachurch pastor here in the Philippines, and she told her story on TV5, and it was published in interaction.com, and she also wrote a book entitled, When a Good God Allows Rape. Again, let me repeat that title, When a Good God Allows Rape. Let me tell you why he wrote that book. At the age of 15, Joy Mendoza, while her parents went away to conduct Bible study, seven armed men entered their home, entered their house, and robbed them. Not only that these seven men robbed them and entered their house and robbed them with their material possession, much worse was they raped Joy Mendoza at the age of 15. 15 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but when I know this story, when I listen to her, I'm struggling with this thought. What if she was my daughter? My daughter is now 13 years old, going 14, so near 15 years old. Will I be able to forgive those men? Or will I be able to honestly say to my daughter, just forgive. Forgive those men who raped you. It's really a struggle, right? To forgive. And this experience really brought pain in the heart of Joy, and it really caused a deep wound in her heart, and she even questioned the goodness of God at that time. So take note, 15 years old, she was raped by seven men. So she questioned the goodness of God. But, she said, as she is struggling with this question, she said that, I will not be defined by what happened to me, but rather I will be defined with what I will do with this man. And listen to her. And this is what she said. And I wrote this, even though it's quite long, but I want you to read this along with me. And this is what she said. If Jesus gave his life for me and he forgave me, then who am I not to forgive? That reality changed my perspective. We are all broken people. We all need forgiveness. And that's true. We all need forgiveness. We are all broken people. And so with the same forgiveness that I received, Joy said, with that grace, she said, okay, Lord, I'm going to choose to forgive these people. Take note. They raped her. When you choose to forgive, she said, those who hurt you, God could turn everything around for good. Because, what's the reason? Because He, God, specializes not in band-aid solution or in band-aid fixes, but He, God, specializes in healing. In healing. Wow, what a story. One way or the other, we have been hurt, we have been wronged by someone. Perhaps, if you will just take a closer look deep inside your heart right now, maybe there's still hurt, anger, or much worse, there's still this bitterness inside our heart. We all need forgiveness. We need to forgive. We all must forgive. As believers, remember, we are recipients of God's forgiveness. Because you cannot give what you don't have. That's the reality. We cannot give what we don't have. And because we receive the forgiveness of God, therefore, we should also ought to forgive one another. The Bible is clear. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. The only reason that God can forgive us is not because of our own merit. It's all because of the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, I want you to understand, if you are new to this kind of gathering, this is your first time, I want you to understand that forgiveness is possible through Jesus Christ. You can be restored, you can be reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. It is only through Him. So ask Him. Ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you, to save you, because let me tell you, our Lord, our Master, our God, Jesus Christ, He is mighty. He is mighty to save. Ask Him. Believe Him. Believe Him. Turn away from your sin and turn to Him, because He is mighty to save. Ask Him. Receive Him. Just tell Him, Lord, I receive You. I believe in You. Put your trust, your confidence on the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you want to know more about it, just approach me after the service. Now, for us who already receive Christ, who already profess our faith to our Lord, our Master, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, here's what He wants us to learn this morning. We must forgive. When someone hurt you, what do we need to do? Forgive. That's the lesson for us this morning. When someone wronged you, maligned you, rejected you, hurt you, Jesus said, forgive. Forgive. How did we know that Jesus said that? I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. We will study verse 37 up to 45. Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 45, but we will just be reading 37 to 38. May I request everyone, in reverence to the reading of God's Word, to please stand. Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 38. Here's what the Word of God says. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. May God be praised for the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, indeed, Lord, we have a very difficult passage. A difficult passage to apply, to be honest with you, Lord. So we really need the Holy Spirit to enable us, to empower us, to be able to apply this truth. Because, Lord, at the end of the day, we all want to obey You. There may be hurt. Some of my brothers and sisters right now, they may be hurting right now. But I just pray, Father, I just pray that as we go through Your Word, may we all find in our heart to release forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Please be seated. Remember the big context we just finished about the Beatitudes? Remember after Jesus chose the 12 apostles? After He chose the 12 apostles, He immediately showed them miracles. And after that, this is their teaching moment with the Lord. Instead of teaching them how to do miracles, He started with their character. And after their character, this is what we call the transformation from the inside out. Here's what they need to do. Remember last week, Pastor Mark preached to us about loving our, pakilakas nga po natin, loving our enemies. It takes character to do that. Love your enemies by being merciful. And I believe he ended with the word forgiveness. So this is the continuation of that. So we ought to love our enemies by expressing mercy, and not only mercy, but to also forgive them. So in verses 37 to 38, we can observe here that when someone hurt you, forgive. That is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. And that's a straightforward. Remember in verse 22, here's what the Lord Jesus said. Blessed are you when people hate you, when people exclude you, when people reject you on the account of the Son of Man. So there is really a cost. When we follow Jesus, definitely there is a cost. Sometimes we might receive persecution from our families, from our friends. So that's the truth. Now, one of the examples that Jesus gave here is this, or one of the example of the Word of God receiving persecution, and yet he forgave his enemies, quote-unquote enemies. Please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. Let's just look for this for the example. Acts chapter 7, in verses 54 to 60. In Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60, here's the story. This is about Stephen, the stoning of Stephen. Listen to the story. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Why did they stone him? Actually, he just preached on them, and they don't want the preaching of Stephen. So they stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, who later on will become Paul, the Apostle Paul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." In the J.B. Phillips translation, it says, "Lord, forgive them for their sin." And after he said this, he fell asleep, meaning he died. Wow. Just even before his death, they were stoning him, and yet he was able to utter, "Lord, forgive them. Forgive them." When it comes to judgment, on the other part of the scripture, Jesus actually is not prohibiting judgment, because in John chapter 7, verse 24, this is what he said. "Do not judge by appearances, but," he said, "judge with the right judgment." So what Jesus actually prohibits when he said, "judge not and condemn not," what he prohibits is just expressing an opinion without knowing the facts. You are just giving out your opinion. And much worse, with your opinion, you are trying to win someone or somebody on your side. That is what the word krino in Greek means. To just expressing an opinion without getting the facts. And the same is true with the word condemnation. When he said condemn not, it's pronounced guilty. Meaning you are already pronouncing guilty the other party without knowing the facts. That is what Jesus is prohibiting here. And he said, "Judge not and condemn not." So Jesus told his disciples, do not judge. Do not condemn them, because you do not know what is happening to them. Especially in the story of Stephen, when it comes to Saul, if we judge Saul immediately without knowing what will happen in the future, he will become Paul, the Apostle Paul, during that time. But during that time, he was a persecutor. But the Lord changed his heart from being a persecutor to a preacher of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we do not know the motive of the heart of people. So we should not judge. We should not just merely express our own opinion, our own story, without getting the whole story of the matter. And then look at what he said. Before we go to forgive, he said, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together." The whole picture of this is being truthful to ourselves. That's what it meant when Jesus said, "Give," in the context of forgiving. Forgive and it will be forgiven. You will be forgiven. Give and it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. It's being truthful. Because during their time, in the marketplace, the seller and the buyer, when the buyer wants to buy some grains, they don't have basket like us, or they don't have weighing scales. During that time, they just have a pouch, okay, and in front of them, and they will just pour on the grain there. So if the seller is not truthful, after he pour out the grains, there's some smoke there, he will just ask the buyer to leave. He is not being truthful. Diba? Kasi hindi makikita nung buyer na, ay, kulang pa pala yung inilalagay mo, hindi pa puno. Diba? But a truthful seller, what he will do is just, after he pour on some grains, he will wait for the smoke to subside, and he will shake that lap until, and then he will put more, so that it will come to full. That's a truthful seller. So in this context, Jesus used this, the whole picture is just being truthful on when we assess someone and when we also assess ourselves. Remember, we are all imperfect people. We are imperfect. So in our world today, in our context, Philippines, and even in Laguna, we don't have that much persecution. Although sometimes from every now and then, we receive persecution from our families, from our friends, because we follow Jesus, we follow the truth, we follow what the Word of God is saying. But more than that, one of the sources of being hurt, having bitterness, is what we call conflict. Let's apply it in conflict. When we are in conflict, most often than not, we always want to express our own story, right? Our own opinion on the matter, especially when you are hurt. And much worse is that because you are hurt, because you are just after your own feelings, what happens is that without you, although this is not directly, but indirectly, you are trying to win somebody or some people when you are telling your side of your story. And that is what Jesus is prohibiting here when he said, judge not, condemn not. Don't just tell your mere opinion just to win their sympathy over you, because you do not know the other side of the story, what is happening on the other side. And being Filipinos, that's what we like. Especially when we are hurt. Right? Di ba punta tayo ng punta tayo kung kani-kanino? Kukwento natin ngayon yung nangyari sa atin. Eh, hindi mo naman naikwento yung kabilang story. Yung sa'yo lang. Not the whole story. Jesus said, judge not and condemn not. Last Tuesday night, I'm doing a counseling through chat. That's the wonder of technology nowadays. And by the way, I asked her permission that I'm going to share this. And she said, yes. Okay? Baka kasi sabihin nyo, si Pastor nagkukwento ah, ng mga kinakounsela niya. I asked her permission about this. Then, this is what she told me. Pastor, maganda yung topic mo ah. Because she saw in the Facebook what we will discuss today. Paano kung meron akong kinaiinisan, this is what verbatim, this is what she wrote, paano kung meron akong kinaiinisan na hindi matanggal-tanggal sa isip ko at parang sasabog na ako? Gusto kong siyang kausapin, kaya lang baka lumaki lang yung gulo. Although wala siyang kasalanan sa akin, directly, because she's referring not directly to her, but to her husband actually. First, she has already this opinion in her mind that it's all about the fault of the other party. So when I told her, well, the key to that is forgive. Just forgive. Simply forgive. Then she told me, well, I already forgave him for what he has done. And I asked, so why are you still dwelling on it? If you already forgiven him, why are you still dwelling on it? You know what? If you really release forgiveness, it only means that there's no more that sting in your heart when you remember things. And then she told me, that's the problem, Pastor. There is still what we call sting in my heart every time I remember what happened. Then I told her, the Bible says, Luke chapter 6, verse 37, forgive. Because the word forgive, in the original language, it means to let go, to dismiss. To let go, the significance of that word, to let go, it means letting go is not taking a misdeed into an account. You will not hold anymore that person, he or she, accountable for what he has done or she has done to you. Let go. Just let go. Set that person free. To set free. The problem, I told her, the problem why you can't set that person really free or you cannot let go is because you also have some contribution to what you are feeling right now, to your bitterness right now. And what is that contribution? That feeling of entitlement, because I'm reading this book by Dr. John Townsend, entitled Entitlement Cure. What is entitlement? Entitlement is the feeling that people owed you something. So in this context, it is as if that person owed her something. That's why she cannot release immediately forgiveness. And then she told me, eh, Pastor, okay lang naman yan eh. Paano kung hindi siya matuto? That's it. That feeling of entitlement. You want something to happen to him na para bang, dapat pagbayaran niya mura sa akin yun. May ginawa siya sa akin eh. May utang siya sa akin. Di ba? Parang ganun ang dating yan eh. Feeling of entitlement. That the other party, they owed you something. But Jesus said, what about him? Jesus said, forgive. Paano nga yung kabilang party, Pastor? Jesus said, forgive and let the Lord deal with him. Because what is more important, especially in conflict, let me tell you this, is that you need to settle first the relationship aspect, then the material issue. You cannot immediately settle with the material issue when you are not settled relational, the relational issue. Once you are settled relationally, then it's easy for you to discuss the material issue. Jesus said, forgive. Then she told me, Pastor, pray for me. Diyan ako mahina eh. Mapagtanim ako. Kaya sabi ko, eh, farmer ka pala. Kung mapagtanim ka. Sabi, opo, that's true. That's why I am now reaping bitterness. And that's true. When you sow hatred, when you sow anger, you will reap bitterness in your heart. A farmer tayo, di ba? Kung mapagtanim pala tayo, yun na lang dapat pala yung occupation natin. We're all farmer. And then I just told her, let go. Just let go. Because that's what the Bible says when she said, when Jesus said, forgive and you will be forgiven. Let go. Set that person free. And by doing so, when you set that person free, what happens is that you are also setting free yourself. You are setting free yourself from the prison of hatred, from the prison of anger, and from the prison cell of bitterness. When we learn how to forgive, actually, the one who really has this set free card is us. The one who forgives. We are setting free ourselves from this prison cell. So as an application, my dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is giving us right now an opportunity. And I don't want us to miss this opportunity. I want you, I want all of us to be able to set free from the prison cell of bitterness and hatred and anger. And I don't want us to miss this wonderful opportunity given by the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, it's about time. It's about time for us to let go. I just want us, all of us, to just bow down our heads and just think of that person who wronged you, who hurt you, who rejected you, who maligned you, who gossiped about you. I want you to think of that person right now and just utter a forgiveness. Just let go. Let go. Set that person free. Set him or her free. And by doing so, you are setting yourself free from the prison of bitterness. Lord, once again, we ask, Father, for your Holy Spirit to enable us to forgive. Because, Lord, it's really hard, Lord God, to forgive, especially when there is really that wound in our heart, what we call the primal wounds of the heart, Lord God. We have been hurt. There is this bitterness inside us. But, Father, through the Holy Spirit, we know we can forgive. We must forgive. So my dear brothers and sisters, let go. When someone hurt you, what do we need to do? Forgive. Let's just forgive. In verses 39 to 42, what we can observe there is that when someone hurt you, be like Christ. Be like Him. So in other words, we also must forgive. Here's the parable that Jesus said. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, Jesus said. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, Jesus just told them an illustration of what it means to forgive, to be like Him, because He mentioned about a blind man leading the blind man. Definitely, how can you just give your opinion on others if you cannot see yourself? Now, in order for us to appreciate this passage, here's the structure of this verse so we can appreciate his illustration, the illustration of Jesus Christ. Okay, the first one, when he's talking about the parable about the blind man, it refers to why do you see the speck that is in your own eye? That is what he is referring to with the blind man. If you cannot see the story, the other side of the story, you are just a blind man. How can a blind man lead a blind man? How can you see? He said, the dust in your brother's eye when you have that beam in your own eye. That is what he is telling there. Because the main point of Jesus is in verse 40 when he said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Meaning, you should not compare yourself to others, but rather compare yourself to your master, to your teacher. And when we start to compare ourselves with our master, definitely we will see our imperfectness. We are imperfect compared to Jesus Christ. Remember, it's a process. We are not there yet. I am not there yet. I don't know about you if you're already there, but I am not there yet. So every time I compare myself to Jesus, Lord, I am imperfect. I am still in process. So in connection with forgiveness, that is what Jesus is trying to say to us. Be like the Master. Remember Jesus while he was hanging on the cross? What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. If our Master, our Lord, our Messiah, he forgave, the disciples should also forgive. A disciple, he said, is not above his teacher. We must forgive. We should be careful, my dear brothers and sisters, on passing judgment on others. Because all the while, as we are giving out our opinion, remember, we have this big beam, big log right in front of our eyes. That's why we can see the whole picture. Sometimes we can see our contribution to that conflict. All we see is that person, he or she hurt me. But we can see the other side of the story, that perhaps the very reason why he said those things, why she said those things, is because I triggered him or her to do that. So you have a contribution to that conflict. But if you have that log in your own eye, you cannot see that. That's why Jesus said, first, analyze yourself. Reflect. It's not always about the other side, the other party. Instead of you saying, what's wrong with that person? First, you need to reflect, what's wrong with me? What is my contribution to this conflict? Then, forgive. Be like your master. Be like Jesus Christ. Forgive. Why? Look at what the scripture says in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says there, forgiving one another, look at the manner. How are we going to forgive? The manner is, as God in Christ forgave you. Just as how Christ forgave you, you forgive. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says there, forgiving each other, the manner again, as the Lord has forgiven you, you must forgive. So meaning, just as how Christ has forgiven us, we also must forgive. A disciple is not above his teacher. We must be like our teacher, our great teacher, the Messiah, our Lord, our God, Jesus Christ. We must be like him. I heard a story last Monday, another testimony of the power of forgiveness. This time it's about a couple who have been separated for 23 years. Take note of that, 23 long years. And I'm talking to the husband, and he told me that it's his fault. So he admitted that it's his fault. He was not a Christian back then. And then, so he keeps on telling to his wife, every time that there will be a misunderstanding, he often tell her, you know what, I can replace you. Sabi niya, papalitan kita. Yan lagi ang sinasabi niya. At tinotoo nga niya. Diba? He had this four relationships. So, but again, he doesn't found love with those four relationships. But after he received Christ, he went back to his family. He asked for the forgiveness of his wife. Take note, 23 long years. Okay? And the beauty of this is this, when he asked for that forgiveness, his wife forgave him. Now, they're back again together. The power of forgiveness. Come to think of it, 23 long years. And look at how powerful God is, that he can really heal. Remember, he does not specialize on band-aid fixes. He specializes on healing. He wants us to be healed, our heart to be healed. That is why he is asking us to forgive. You must forgive. You want to be healed from bitterness, from anger, from hurt? Then you must forgive, just like our Master, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I know it's really hard to forgive, my dear brothers and sisters. I myself have been a victim of bitterness. Even in the ministry, let me tell you, there is bitterness, there is hurt, there is anger, even in ministry. So I know what I am talking about here. But the Lord, he specializes on healing. He wants us to be healed from deep within. And the key for us to be healed from our brokenness, from our hurt, from our bitterness, is to forgive. Forgive. No ifs, no buts, because Jesus said, forgive and you will be forgiven. That's what he said. No if, no but. Pastor, paano? Let the Lord deal with him or her. But the Bible says, Jesus, he wants us to forgive. He wants us to forgive. Why does he want us to forgive? Look at verses 43 to 45. It's because of who we are in him. Because of who we are in him. Look at what he said. For, he started with that word for. That's the because. Okay, so here's the reason why we must forgive. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Remember, the first lesson is all about character. From the inside out, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So from the inside out. Jesus actually, here's the structure of this so you can understand what Jesus is trying to say here. Okay? For no good tree bears bad fruit, it refers to the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And then about the bad tree not bearing good fruit, it refers to the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. And when he says, for each tree is known by its own fruit, for figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from another bramble bush, he said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the explanation of it. So you can understand the Bible. I'm just showing you how to read the Bible here and how to structure the Word of God. So if it's like saying to us, you are now in Christ. If you accepted Christ, if you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you are now in him. Therefore, you are now a good person. All because of Jesus Christ. It's not because of our goodness. That is what he is trying to say here. Because of who you are in Christ, therefore you are now a good person, you should bear good fruit. And in this context, the good fruit is forgiveness. So it's because you need to be like him. You can be like him. You can be like Christ because you are now in him. Because you are now in Christ. Therefore, we can now forgive. Left to our own, we cannot do this. But all because of Jesus Christ in us, at work in and through us, then we can forgive. We can forgive. That is what he is trying to say to his disciples. Because you are now in me, you are now a good person. Therefore, you can forgive. Because a bad person, an evil person, definitely he cannot bear good fruit. What he bears is just an evil, a bad fruit. So are you a disciple of Jesus? Wala nang sumagot, di ba? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you in Christ? Parang mahina, di ba? Ayaw nyo mag-forgive, ha? Are you already in Christ?
Yes.
Pwede bang with conviction naman? Are you in Christ?
Yes.
If you are already in Christ, therefore, when someone hurt you, you must forgive. You must forgive. Because that's what Jesus said, you must forgive. In closing, let me share this to you, another story that I heard this last Monday. While sitting at GCF Santa Rosa, someone entered and he's looking for someone, one of the staff. And then as he was waiting, he just shared to me his testimony. I'm not asking him, but he just, knowing that I'm a pastor, he just tell me his story. And you know what his story is all about? Back then in Baguio, okay, back then in Baguio, he was accused of something that he did not commit. And that is murder. And let me tell you, if you have been accused by murder, that's a serious crime. Okay? So he was accused of murder, so he went in prison first. As he was awaiting for his arraignment for 3 months, he was already in prison. So when the judge asked him, okay, after 3 months, when the judge asked him, what is your plea? Guilty or not guilty? And then he said, judge, and he has this in his hand, judge, with all due respect, I am innocent. And then the judge him, I will hold you contempt. I'm just asking you, guilty or not guilty. And then again, he told the judge, Lord, what's the use of being contempt? I'm already in jail while waiting for the arraignment. Again, with all due respect, I am telling you, I am not guilty. I am not guilty, but I am innocent. Because in his mind, even a criminal, he can feel not guilty even if he truly commits the crime. So that's why he told the judge, judge, with all due respect, I am innocent because I really did not commit the crime. The police just planted evidence on me. And that's, I think, yan naman yata yung news ngayon, di ba? Ganyan ang mga naririnig natin, what's happening around us. So after that, still, he went into jail for 8 years. Pastor, for 8 years, I did not really committed the crime. And many other, that's why it's good for you to have prison ministry, he told me. Because there are so many innocent people inside the jail. For 8 years now, after 8 years, he went out of prison. Because there's also a DNA, even if there's a DNA, it found negative, he still went into prison. 8 years, 8 long years. And then I asked him, have you forgiven all the policemen? Because right now he's attending one of the churches in Santa Rosa, Laguna. He said, have you found in your heart to forgive all those policemen who accused you of something that you did not commit and for that reason you went into prison for 8 years? And you know what? He looked into my eye and he said, yes, Pastor, I have forgiven them. What if it happened to you? Joy Mendoza was raped, and yet she was able to forgive. This man, he was accused of something that he did not commit, murder. He went into prison for 8 years, and yet he found in his heart to forgive. What about if you are the wife For 23 years, you've been separated. Can you still forgive? If these people, they were able to forgive all because of Jesus Christ, what about on our issues? On our conflict? I think we have not experienced being raped. We have not been experienced being accused of murder. What are you going to do now with your conflict, with your neighbor, with your brothers and sisters in the church, with your family? Again, my dear brothers and sisters, the choice is yours. Do you want to be set free from the prison cell of bitterness, anger? Forgive. Dr. Townsend has said, God's ways will never fail you. God's ways will never fail you, even when they make you uncomfortable for a while. Definitely, it will be uncomfortable if we release forgiveness. It will be uncomfortable, let me tell you. But it's just for a while. But remember this, God's ways will never, ever, ever fail you. So, when someone hurt you, what do we need to do? Forgive. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I just pray